Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. That's John Fogerty's classic baseball anthem, of course. And we have some excited sports bettors with opening day tomorrow. 2023 MLB season is going to be a season unlike any other. You got some significant rule changes this year. We're going to dig into those, how they could influence outcomes, and we're going to get help from one of the best baseball betting brains out there in the industry. We're talking about Derek Carty from EV Analytics. He's the creator of the famed Bad Axe Projections. You can see him every week. He does a release show with us at Covers.com. He's going to come on, talk all things baseball betting, get you ready for action on the diamond. And that's not all. We got a wicked week of sports betting here. Final Four on Saturday, the improbable conclusion to the madness of all madnesses, the craziest March we've ever witnessed. Chris Hatfield's back. He's going to talk SDSU, FAU, and Miami versus UConn. And, of course, we're going to close out the show with the action report. Going to talk NCAA finals or semifinals. MLB baseball season. We got Chris Abbott from Betano coming in. He's going to jump in for the two-minute drill today. With me, as always, is my producer, Del. Del, happy baseball. Are you a big baseball guy?
I like it. It's not at the top of my list, but it always keeps me intrigued, you know? Fantasy can do that to you. Anytime
fantasy,
you can get
fantasy,
a fan.
Fantasy baseball is like a full-time job. I will not play fantasy baseball. That is too much.
No, it's a full-time commitment. And there's the split between pitchers and fielders and everything, so it's a lot of
it's
work.
It's madness. Do you get now? You're in Toronto. Do you get too many Jays games?
Yeah, sometimes it's nice. I want to see the new renovations that they've done to the stadium. I'm sure it's going to be great, and I'm excited for the season. The Jays are going to be a good team this year.
Yeah. Speaking of ballparks, what's your favorite ballpark snack?
Oh, I got to go with the hot dog. It's just the classic. You can't never leave the hot dog, right? It's always there, and you know it's the best time to have one.
I'm a big hot dog fan. I just can't bring myself to pay like $12 for a hot dog when I know the Costco, the Dollar HD deal, the $1.50 with a soda is waiting for me at Costco.
That'll never be beat. Never be beat.
That wouldn't. No, that's the best. That's the plus EV meal of all time out there is the Costco hot dog.
And you're always hammering it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I'll get at least two every time I go. I just can't. I can't deny the value. It's just staring me in the face. Even if I'm not hungry, two Costco hot dogs down the gullet. All right, we got plenty to get to here. It's a busy week in sports. Let's get going. He's the creator of the Bad Axe baseball projections, which can be found at EV Analytics amongst some other places, and he can be seen and heard on Covers.com each week as part of the Bad Axe release show. Derek Carty, welcome to the Sharp 600.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
This is your Christmas morning, eh, buddy?
Yeah, it really is. It's a long wait throughout the offseason leading up for opening day, but we're just about here. It's awesome.
Yeah, and an opening day unlike any other, and we're going to get to that. But there's a lot of new sports bettors coming into the space. This is their first baseball season. Basic level stuff. What are some do's and don'ts that people should keep in mind when they're betting baseball here?
Yeah, so I mean, the same as betting any other sport, I would say if you're a new bettor, the very first thing you should do is shop around for lines. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like a lot. You're picking up a couple cents here, a couple cents there. But finding the best line is going to make it a lot easier to be profitable over time. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing I would say is that obviously we do this because we love sports, but knowledge of sports alone isn't going to make you a profitable bettor. Using projections, using math, and really finding edges is what matters the most. Like you might say, okay, well, I really like Jacob deGrom today. I think he's going to do really well. That's not necessarily enough because the book might think that too. You know, you want to compare essentially what you actually think he's going to do. Try to put even if you're not using a projection, try to put a number on it. Say, okay, I think Jacob deGrom is going to do really well today. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? I think Jacob deGrom is going to have 9 strikeouts today. Well, if the book sets the line at 9.5, even though you think he's going to do well, maybe you want to bet the under, actually. So I think it's important to really kind of be transparent with yourself about it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, you're not the only one who thinks that, and the value might actually be on the other side.
Sure. Speaking of math, a ton of stats, a ton of analytics out there for baseball, which just seems built for it. Which stats, which numbers and metrics do you put more weight into when it comes to baseball betting, and which ones should we maybe not buy into as much as baseball bettors?
Yeah, I think the main thing I'd say is that I don't look like do these deep dives into, you know, advanced stats and StatCast stats, because I have my own projections. Yeah. I build a projection system where all of that goes into it. So I don't have to worry about that, because a projection accounts for everything you want it to. It's going to account for all those advanced stats. It's going to account for multiple years of them in the right proportions. It's going to account for context and aging and how much variance is in these stats. So it sounds kind of like a cop-out answer, but use a projection, any projection. It doesn't have to be mine. Any projection, I think, is the very easiest thing that a new bettor can do, or any bettor, to make you more profitable. A lot of people focus on, you know, barrel rates and launch angles and exit velocities and like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. That stuff is going to be helpful. But I feel like a lot of times people view it through the wrong lens. You know, okay, we're in the middle of April. This guy's increased his launch angle this year. He's got to be different, and he's got to be hitting a bunch more home runs now. But like, those things do have variance in them. They have noise. And so you don't just want to take them at face value. I think people forget that, yeah, even though they're advanced stats, they still have noise the same as your surface stats, like just plain old home run rate do.
Mm-hmm. Any metrics out there, and like you said, you use the project, you have your projection model for those folks that are maybe trying to figure out a projection model or just kind of working with some different stats to come up with their own number. Is there any kind of lesser known metrics out there that may fly under the radar that maybe you do work into your projections or maybe put a little extra weight into?
I don't know if it's so much a metric, but paying attention to volume is really important. So when we're talking about baseball, pitch counts for pitchers are, I've found, to be a pretty significant edge at times. Mm-hmm. And people really kind of, they miss that sort of thing. Or some of the lesser things that create edges, umpires and catcher pitch framing and stuff like that. Or weather, people don't always pay enough attention to. Mm-hmm.
So like all sports too, baseball seeing a boom and kind of endless options in the way that to chop and screw these different games, not just sides and totals and money lines, run lines anymore. We're talking props and derivatives. Any markets out there that you have the most success with and that should people should be looking to?
Yeah. So honestly, for the most part, the popular markets are the ones that I'm staying away from. Mm-hmm. Home run props, yes, no, you know, run in the first inning or whatever lines, your fee or whatever people call it. Those tend to not have a lot of value.
Yep.
Some of the lesser known markets, like hitter stolen bases last year, were very profitable, especially early in the year. Pitcher strikeouts is kind of the exception to the popular rule because they still had a lot of value last year. Mm-hmm. Pitcher strikeouts were great. Pitcher outs were really good too.
All right. You've been all over the recent rule changes here, how those could possibly impact the results and give bettors the edge. Where is the real potential here with these rule changes, like the clock and the increased base sizes and things like that? And where are some of the misconceptions and where these could influence outcomes this year? And what should bettors really be paying attention to in these first, you know, the first month of action?
Yeah, I feel like the thing that's gotten the most attention is the new defensive shift rules, mm-hmm. where everyone's expecting every left-handed batter now to hit 300, which is not really going to be the case. It's going to make a little bit of a difference, but ultimately I don't think the shift is going to make a huge difference for more than a handful of players. Mm-hmm. The thing that I think is going to have the most impact is the pitch clock. And there are definitely going to be some things about it that are hard to quantify that we don't know about right now. But the one thing that I think we can say for sure about the pitch clock, I guess the combination of the pitch clock and the pickoff rules and to a lesser extent the bigger bases, is that stolen bases are going to go up. We can say that with a very, very high degree of certainty. We saw it happen in the minors last year. We've seen it in spring training this year. Like, stolen bases are going up, and I'm going to be really interested to see if the books are going to be trying to account for that right out of the gate, or if they're going to be taking more of a wait and see approach. Last year, I said stolen bases were really profitable early in the season, and especially if their lines are off further because of these rules, I'm really excited to see those.
All right. Have you got any inkling from talking to sportsbook operators or anyone within the industry that, you know, a lot of sportsbooks are saying, oh, we're going to wait and see because that's kind of their approach to any rule change. Has there been anyone out there in the industry that says, no, we're adjusting to this right out of the gate?
None that I've seen.
No.
I mean, they can be a little tight-lipped about this.
Sure.
I know Josh at Covers did a good article today where, you know, certain operators were kind of saying like, hey, we're going to wait and see about some of this stuff. So That's what I'm hoping happens.
Right on. You're talking about Josh Ingles, who covers baseball for us, does the Bat X show with you. Josh has done a fantastic rundown of kind of how the new rule changes could influence and where those soft spots could be in the betting markets. You guys were also talking about futures bets out there, and I know these markets have changed a lot since, you know, the winter and the spring when they go up. Any futures wagers you think are worth the wait right now with the season almost here?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually did a show yesterday. Aaron Nola, Cy Young odds look really good to me. Yesterday when we did the show, he was plus 1,400 was the best line. I think he's moved a little bit less as of, you know, since then. But Aaron Nola is one of the absolute best pitchers in baseball. He led baseball in WAR last year. The Bat is projecting him to lead baseball in WAR again this year. He's pitching now for what has become a high-profile Phillies team, you know, coming off a World Series appearance. They should be a winning team again this year. Should be able to rack up wins for Nola because voters care about that. He's always been good for a lot of innings, and he's very talented, and he should have one of the best, you know, he should be one of the favorites, and he's 14-1, which is just crazy.
Wow. And some shifting power pitching here, jumping between different leagues this year as well too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. So we got Thursday is the opening day slate. Any early bets? Any leans that you have here for Thursday's opening day?
So it's been crazy leading up to it. I haven't dug in too deeply yet, but I do know the Bat is pretty high on the San Francisco Giants money line here. Mm-hmm. Looks like around plus 160, depending where you're looking.
Yep.
You know, it's against the Yankees, which no surprise. Like a lot of times, the market tends to overrate the Yankees because they're the Yankees. Everyone knows they're good. Everyone likes to bet on them. But the Giants have a really good pitcher in Logan Webb going. I think this is a spot where I'm going to be on the underdog.
All right, fading the Yankee tax, as we always called it, right?
Yep.
Now, before we let you know it's baseball season, we have to get your best ballpark snack. What is your go-to food when you're watching a game?
Oh, I'm old school. Give me a hot dog and I'm happy.
All right. That's what Dell, our producer, was on too. He likes the hot dog. I just can't fork over, you know, $10 for a hot dog when I know the Costco hot dog deal is staring me in the face. So all right, that's Derek Hardy. Derek, tell the people where they can follow you and watch and listen to everything you got coming this baseball season.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Derek Hardy. You can find me on the Covers show with Josh, the Bat X release show, every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And you can find my full set of projections, the Bat X, over at EV Analytics. Yeah, that's the deal.
Awesome. All right, man. I appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Good luck this season.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
He's been marching through the madness all month long, eating, breathing, not so much sleeping, though. NCAA tournament here for Covers.com. You were locked into the Sweet 16. You did really well. You had three picks on the pod last week and nailed all three. And you're back to discuss this weekend's Final Four matchup. It's Chris Hatfield. Welcome back to the Sharp 600.
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
It's going okay. Like we were talking off camera here. I've got an FAU flyer in the mix, and we'll see what happens this weekend. Now it's not the big dance that we thought we were going to get. Maybe it's the one big dance that we deserved, but how's your bracket for one? Anything left? Is it dead?
It's a nightmare. Yeah, I filled out three brackets and I think I have one Final Four team left, and that's San Diego State, not UConn.
That's still pretty impressive.
It's kind of a feather in my cap, but
where did we go wrong with these four programs? What did we miss with these four programs?
Where do you have time? I mean, so I think the most shocking results are probably Alabama and Houston, right? I don't think anybody expected anything out of Purdue and Kansas, maybe, but they obviously had their flaws throughout the season. I think that was pretty logical to anyone that watched. Alabama, you know, it's a whole philosophical conversation about basketball and not shooting mid-range shots and shooting nothing but layups and threes and what you think that's worth. You know, you can talk a lot about that. I thought against San Diego State that they were very much outcoached and they generally showed an unsustainable basketball style that didn't really work. You know, they were getting stopped at the rim. They were kind of getting baited into going to the rim and getting their shots blocked. And there was really no recourse from them because the outside shot was not shooting or not falling. So for them, I just thought I was never really high on Alabama most of the season like some people were. And for me, it was because, hey, the threes aren't falling, then what happens? We've seen it so much throughout the season. In that game, they look frustrated. They didn't know what to do. Their youth showed. It was bad. For Houston, my national championship pick, and they looked awful against Miami. And again, you kind of just harken back to is missing a bunch of shots and being a team that's going to get offensive rebounds at a clip that's like 40% a sustainable way to win basketball games in the tournament. Mm. Can you do it for six games straight? That's who they were. They've spent 3 or 4 years building this identity of a team that's going to create a massive amount of second chance points, and that's how we're going to win games. We're not going to win games. Our guards are good. Marcus Sasser's a great player. Don't get me wrong. We have good guards, but they're not elite shot makers. They're not elite guards. They're not guards that you're going to be like, hey, this guy's going to be in the NBA, you know, doing these things that De'Aaron Fox does, doing these things that all these stars do. So they created this very straight line identity, and it didn't work out. I mean, you can say some of the things for San Diego State, but FAU, but I think they've played different types of teams and they've found different ways to win. And for these teams, these big surprises in Alabama and Houston, I just kind of thought they met their match and didn't really have a counter to it.
Sure. All right. So we'll forget the losers. We're going to focus on the winners here. We got FAU and San Diego State. Break this matchup down for us. What are you betting in this semifinal?
I haven't bet this game yet. I'm likely going to bet Florida Atlantic at some point. I thought that for a lot of this tournament that teams that were really physical were going to struggle with those, and they proved me wrong. They played some extremely physical teams. If you watch Tennessee play basketball, they kind of just shove people out of the way, and that's how they play basketball. They were able to come back from that game. In this matchup, it's really just about spacing, man. FAU is a four-out team. They have multiple ball handlers, and can they handle the ball pressure of San Diego State? Creighton struggled against it. Nimhard had the whole finger injury thing going on. Don't know how much that contributed to that game being turned. But that's really what it's about. Can Florida Atlantic handle some of that ball pressure? Can they get to the rim? And on the other side of the ball, San Diego State, again, for the third straight time this tournament, I think is going to be forced to hit mid-range shots. They've done it the last two times. And I just think there's a little too much value here. This is definitely, for me, the hardest game of the two because I think it's a tremendous coaching matchup. I think Dusty May is a sensational coach. You watch them play, the way they space, their cutters, it's great basketball. But I do lean to FAU here, and I will likely end the week with a bet on them.
All right. In terms of total, in terms of the way these teams have to shoot, do you think going to a big cavernous massive dome like NRG Stadium, do you think that impacts the way we have, you know, we have a Mountain West Conference team? FAU's what conference are they in again?
Conference USA.
Yeah, so two smaller conferences playing in some smaller gyms. Do you think now making this move to NRG is going to impact because of the, you know, the depth perception and everything that comes with playing in these bigger arenas? Think it's going to have any influence on the shooting for these teams?
Yeah, I mean, simple answer. I think I'm probably not going to touch the total here, just because I, you know, kind of just breaking it down, I thought it was pretty spot on. But we've seen poor shooting throughout this tournament, and for these two teams on this stage in this moment, it's the same thing throughout the tournament where the nerves kind of catch you. Maybe you can catch both sides. Maybe you can be on the pregame under, and then if it's so bad early on, go ahead and don't be afraid to try to middle there.
All right. And then in the other semifinal, we got UConn, a 5.5-point favorite against Miami. Tell us the tale of the tape here. What wagers do you like to have in action for this semifinal?
I played the over big, one of my biggest bets of the tournament. And I kind of contradicted myself just what I just said there. But you look at this Miami team, and I mean, they've scored 80 points against anybody they played. They played a defense in Houston. They've played these great defenses, and now they get UConn, who, I mean, they're a good defense, but they're not going to blow you off the paper. Mm-hmm. When I projected this total and kind of just I was pretty conservative in my projection. I still came up with like 153.5. Mm-hmm. So I saw a pretty big edge here, went ahead and grabbed the over at 149.5. It has stayed pretty steady there at that moment. And this game is really, really simple. It's going to be about pretty much UConn's 3-point shooting. If they're hitting open shots, Miami's not a good spot up defense team. One of the worst in the ACC. hasn't really hurt them a ton this season. Mm-hmm. But can they do that? And then on the other side of the ball, is Miami going to win these isolation battles that they seemingly get in every game where they're just hitting these great shots? I mean, the Texas game, Isaiah Wong was incredible. They're just elite, elite shot making at the college level, for sure. So I am tempted to play Miami here because I feel like I'm getting the best backcourt and a better coach in a Final Four game, and they're a 5.5-point underdog.
Yep.
But I'm probably going to hit some future markets that involve Miami rather than play an actual side on this game.
And UConn, really, the only team in this tournament that's kind of lived up to whatever hype it faced. It covered as four straight as favorites, just massive blowout wins, have looked really dominant in a tough matchup overall because they're just so big and burly inside. And
did you watch the most of the Gonzaga game?
I watched a little bit. I was slipped between that. I'm covering NBA this year, so I'm stuck watching like Orlando and New Orleans plays.
I understand it. I don't know if it caught to you though, but I thought Gonzaga just looked really timid throughout that game outside of Drew Timmy. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Connecticut just kind of crushed them physically, and that was all she wrote, really. But it was interesting to me to see a Gonzaga team that's been in the moment before look that way.
Mm. Now, you said last week, most outstanding player odds. You don't generally get involved with it until later in the tournament, and here we are with just four teams left. Anyone you like here out of the four semifinalists to win outstanding player of the tournament, and any sleeper player that could come on here in the last two games and steal this award?
What I like to do, what I've been doing the last few years, is at this spot, I typically take a long shot. So I took Isaiah Wong at 13-1, 12-1, 14-1. He's bouncing. I got 13-1. And it kind of goes back to my previous point of, you know, if Miami's going to pull this upset, it's going to be because they are doing what they've done throughout this tournament with some just great elite shot making, contested shots. And Isaiah Wong is the most likely to do that. So I think betting Isaiah Wong at 13-1 is effectively betting not a like for like, but it's kind of like betting Miami money line here. I think this is the championship game, Miami and UConn.
Right on.
So that would be my long shot, and that's the only bet I made. And, you know, if UConn wins, I will probably just, instead of betting a side there, I will bet most outstanding player for that game. Because, again, I think this is kind of the championship game. I'm probably going to bet Sanogo there just because his physical presence against either San Diego State or FAU would be the story of that game. And we have this kind of bias as voters to just go ahead and give it to the person who just impressed us the most. So yeah, that's kind of my plan for the tournament.
Okay. Never too soon to start thinking about next season. And we've already seen some pretty notable names jump into the transfer portal. We've seen some coaching carousel moves already. Who are some programs that better should keep in mind as we start to, you know, get back into the NCAA mix next fall?
This is what's really made, it's been great for college basketball from a betting perspective, because if you can keep up with some of this transfer portal, you can really hit some great numbers. I got Creighton 80-1 to win the national championship last year around this time. And, you know, that didn't plan out, but it was fun to sweat that out through the tournament. The one that jumps out to me right now is obviously kind of seeing where Caleb Love goes.
Yeah.
That's a situation that could get really bad, or it could be good if it's the right spot with BS players on his team to kind of reel him in. I do like what Michigan State has been able to go ahead and do. It seems like Tyson Walker is returning from a Michigan State team that made an impressive tournament run this year. They bring in 2 5-stars. So that is the one that I've kind of penciled at to look at when the future markets come out, is Michigan State.
All right. And in the Big Ten, I mean, always in flux. It's going to be, look completely different next year too, right? So,
yeah.
All right. And opening day is tomorrow. I know we've been talking basketball betting, but in terms of baseball, what's your favorite ballpark snack?
My favorite ballpark snack. I'm pretty boring, man. I just go with the popcorn and maybe some beer. Keep it light.
There you go. All right. Everyone's been calling for hot dog. We had guys say pretzel.
Yeah, pretzel's a good one.
I'm a big fan of the strawberry. When it's really hot, the frozen strawberry daiquiris are a lifesaver.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
That's a nice way to starve off the heat stroke. All right, man. Yeah. Chris, tell the people where they can follow you this week heading into the Saturday semifinals, and then, of course, the championship game on Monday.
It's _ Chris Hatfield at Twitter. I've kind of been running a basketball model most of the year for the last few years, and I went ahead and posted my projections for these final games left in the tournament there, and you can check those out, and you can tell them or you can fade them if you'd like.
All right, Chris, thanks so much. Thanks for everything during the tournament, man. Great job. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
2 minute drill time with Chris Abbott of Betano Sportsbooks. And we're going to start with the final four, specifically the futures for the remaining teams. Who's the book want to win this thing in terms of futures liability?
Okay, well, I'm glad we're talking about this now, not a few weeks ago, because you would have said, yeah, of course, that's who we want to win. But currently, we're looking for San Diego. That's who we need based on futures action right now. But I would have said that probably at tip of the tournament as well, and people might have laughed at me. But here we are.
All right, probably a good result overall with a lot of those big dogs going down. So
yeah, it hasn't been bad. It hasn't been bad for the books. I mean, and good for players who did take dogs, right? So you love that too.
Yeah. How's the action been here on the two final four matchups? Any big adjustments or any smart money coming in on these two games?
In the San Diego, Florida, it's been about balanced for us just on the game. And in the other one, we're seeing some heavy action on the favorite on UConn. We got it at -4.5 where we saw some sharp action there. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see how that plays out.
All right, baseball season's back tomorrow. Let's talk MLB futures. Which teams are taking the bulk of the bets? And any surprise teams out there garnering love from futures bettors?
Ah, one of the, you know, we always see it, especially a Canada-based book here. It's a lot of Jays, you know, Jays overs. So, you know, the pessimist in me says I'm going to go run and bet the unders. But we're seeing a lot of positivity toward the Blue Jays, much like we did last year. And we're seeing a lot of Jays futures action. And then the normals, you know, the Dodgers, the Yankees, and things like that.
Yeah, season win totals, also very popular. Which teams have seen the biggest adjustments either up or down in their win totals for the season?
Yeah, you know, we haven't seen a ton of movement there. I mean, there was a lot of excitement around the World Baseball Classic, but I think it took away from our season-long baseball betting. At least that's what we experienced early on. So, you know, nothing really to report there.
All right. Big rule changes coming up here for the majors. We're going to keep going. We'll keep going here with the horn. Big changes in the rules. How are you guys managing those possible impacts and any adjustments before games get started here on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm super long-winded, so sorry about that.
It's all right, man.
So the rule changes, it'd be interesting to see. I think we're probably going to see pitchers, maybe their innings pitch totals come down a little bit. I'm talking in the game, you know, number of outs, over-unders, just because they are pitching faster and guys might get out of rhythm. And for two things, right? They might wear themselves out, or they might get hit, or they might have more walks or what have you. So I think that's the biggest adjustment we're watching right now is pitchers' out totals.
Okay. It's almost opening day. Favorite ballpark snack?
Oh, well, I mean, in Toronto, they just announced the poutine hot dog.
I saw that.
I'm going to the home opener. I'm going to get that one. But I like to keep it simple. I like the pretzel the hot dog. The pretzel or the hot dog with lots and lots of 4% beer, the light beers. Absolutely.
That's right. Those $15 Coors Light that go down oh so smooth. Does the poutine dog come with defibrillator paddles, or is that extra?
I carry my insurance cards with me everywhere I go. That's okay. We'll take it.
I'm a big fan, especially when it gets hot, is the frozen strawberry daiquiris. I got one before and everyone was shitting on me about it. And then by like the sixth inning, everyone had frozen strawberry daiquiris because it was so goddamn hot.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful with those because it's the fifth inning and you're like, oh, I'm buckled.
That's right.
I've been drinking them like they're not filled with rum. And listen, that's a dangerous game, but it's a fun one.
Yeah, the seventh inning stretch turns into the seventh inning stagger. Before we let you go here, best bet for this week. It could be on the diamond, could be Final Four, could be hockey, basketball, whatever you got. What do you like this week coming up?
Man, best bet for this week. Well, see, I'm going to Florida on Saturday morning. That's all I've been thinking about. So my best bet is over 1.5 hugs of Mickey and Minnie when I get to Disney World this week. I don't know. My best bet, I don't know if we'll speak again before the NHL playoffs, so I'll just say everything I got on Tampa Bay in the first round.
All right. And then are you going to go see the Bolts while you're down there?
They play one home game. They play the Islanders the day we arrive, so may or may not head to Amalie for that. The Rays, I think, are on the road the whole time as well. So, I don't know.
There's plenty to do in Florida. You can go wrestle some alligators or something like that. I'll make you the favorite in the alligator wrestling match. How about that?
Well, I don't know. I definitely take under 1.5 rounds if I'm going with an alligator. That's what
All right. Saying. All right. Well, pack your sunscreen, buddy. I appreciate you coming on. That's it for this packed episode of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Chris, Derek, Chris with a C, Dell. And thank you for listening. A reminder to please rate and review the podcast in a second. We're going to be back Wednesday with a brand new pod talking about all things sports betting. Until then, best of luck.